have all the children sit on the steps so that the church can see your faces. Usually, everybody looks at my face or the storyteller's face. You guys can sit down there. I am so lucky that God has blessed me with two children who give me lots of stories that show me how much God loves me. Come over here. Come closer. Closer. Sit right there. Sit right there so everybody can see how cute you guys look. Okay, so do you guys see this picture? Do you know who's in there? You see anybody that you know? Marcus and Colleen, and Brock knows Caitlin, Marcus's cousin. So they do a lot of things together. Eat together. Can you see that? And Marcus likes Kate because she's really athletic. So he can throw a ball hard at her, play basketball, and she can keep up. He likes that. Marcus and Kate are only 4 months apart. This is what they look like when they were little. People used to think that they were brother and sister. Can you see that? And they're only 4 months apart, so they were they're in the same grade, and they grew up together. And Caitlin has a condition called neutropenia. That means that when you get sick, your body doesn't have the white cells to fight off infection. So if she got sick, like if you got a cold, she would have to go into the hospital. And she had to eat special foods. She had to have her foods cooked. And she couldn't go to a restaurant. And she always had hand sanitizer. And you couldn't share your food with her, so Marcus and Colleen had to be very careful because sometimes kids share food or utensils or water bottles or towels. She couldn't share any of that stuff. So we had to be really careful not to let Kate get sick, because when she got sick, she had to go in the hospital, and it was kind of scary. So one day, we went to the water park with Kate. And when Caitlin goes to the water park, she has to have... no water can get in her ears, so she had to have earplugs, and no water could get into her eyes because you have tiny holes in your eyes, so she had to wear goggles, really tight goggles, and she had to wear a nose plug, and she had to shut her mouth, so she could not go into the water very much. So the water park was perfect for her. You know, we stayed in the kiddie area, and the you know what the kiddie area looks like, right? The water's really shallow, and there's things to step on and play on and squirt. And when Marcus was little, he hardly ever sat still. Some people said he was busy or active or kolohe. You know what that means? If you don't know what that means, you can kind of take a look at big people who are kolohe. Like maybe Pastor John or Uncle Greg. Look at Uncle Greg. So that's when you know what kolohe means. But people said Marcus was kolohe. So he might not have noticed that Kate needed all that special attention because he was kind of busy himself. So when we went to the water park, we were sitting on the side and I was putting on all of Kate's stuff. Earplugs, special goggles, sunscreen. And before we could get all of her stuff on, somebody went like this to Kate. She could not get any water in her nose, eyes, or mouth, or anything. And it was this big boy. He was like 10 years old. And he was not supposed to be in the kiddie area. He was squirting. Squirting her. And I was kind of mad because I thought, I'm getting this child ready and she can't get wet. And why is that big boy in the kiddie pond? But before I could say anything, all of a sudden the big boy was being blasted with lots of water from a big giant squirt gun, and I hear a little voice shouting, "Don't squirt my cousin!" He was squirting Marcus was across the pond, squirting this big boy with a huge squirt gun. So the big boy ran away. He decided he couldn't bully Kate because Marcus was defending her. When we got home, Caitlin told her mom, "Mommy, Marcus saved me." You know how old they were? They were 3 years old. Who's 3 years old? Emma, are you 3 years old? That's how big Marcus and Kate were. And for Marcus to do that, he was not afraid to stand up to a big boy to defend his cousin. I have a text for you, what it says in the Bible about people who do that. It says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus calls us his friends. He loves us so much. I have to write down all my lessons. Marcus squirted that big boy even before I had a chance to ask him to do it to defend her. I didn't have to ask him. He ran up and he did it himself. And you know that Jesus loves you so much that before you even ask or before you even know you need him to help you, he's right there. And you know that if Kate got germs in her, she could be sick and she could possibly die. And that's kind of how we are. Without Jesus to protect us, we would die, but we have eternal life, and we have a chance to go to heaven because Jesus died for us. That's how much he loves us. And as much as your mommies and daddies love you, as much as Marcus loves Kate, God loves you so much more. Aren't we so happy that he did that for us? Let's have a prayer, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you so much that you love us, and thank you for this Sabbath day. Amen. Thank you for listening to my story. You can go back to your seats.
I think that was a great children's story. That's why we have a children's story. That's the feature. Then after that comes the sermon. No need to worry, really. Thank you. We appreciate it. I thank Pastor Abbott for having me come and what he thought was, you know, he'll get a day off. Right. For me, it was all week sweating, well, ever since he asked me. But I'm happy to be able to come. I'm retired, and you know, I keep telling these guys, I'm not retired, actually, I'm tired. So, cannot help him. But anyway, I'm grateful to be here. Now, what day is this, anyway? You're not supposed to say that, you're supposed to say the Sabbath, but I tricked you into asking, I know you're going to say Halloween. Well, it is, you know. And I don't think that's coincidental that I have to be here. Please, don't get anything wrong about that. I chose a sermon titled Aloha Ke Akua. Now, what does that mean? God is love. Akua is God. Aloha Ke, the God of love. Now, the reason I did that is my wife and I were privileged to come for the last month of October, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday night, here to this church, for a seminar, an evangelistic gospel presentation by our pastor. Now, I'm going to tell you, be honest now, how many of you guys came all the time? Now look around at the hands and you know that, oh brother, the place was empty. It wasn't packed. But we had a good group. Okay, because not everybody raised their hands. But that was one of the best seminar experiences on the gospel that you could hear. I'm telling you. Now my wife and I are pushing Abbott, do it again. Not right away, but do it again. And then we will bring more visitors and friends and our members. That's just a little commercial. But I'm taking off from there to hit the nail on the head another time. Okay? So we're talking about Aloha Keakua. I start off by saying this, God. Because the question asked was, what is God like? Who is God? How do you know about God? First of all, God is infinite and intimate. He liked to say that. Infinite and intimate. This is a kind of a little picture about God. Here it is in the Bible. Okay, if you want to read it, fine. You don't have to because I'm going to read it out. 1 John 4, starting with 10. And mine is contemporary English version. Real love isn't our love for God, but His love for us. God sent His Son to be the sacrifice by which our sins are forgiven. Dear friends, since God loved us this much, we must love each other. No one has ever been able to see God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is truly in our hearts. God has given us His Spirit. That is how we know God, that we are one with Him. That is how we know that God is in us and we are His good friend, just as He is one with us. That is Aloha Keakua. Now let me just comment a little about the word Aloha. Aloha is an interesting word, right? You see somebody say, hey, Aloha. Fine. He's going to leave. Say aloha. Hey, bro, you coming or going? Then we grew up here. They told us that Hawaii, the land where we have the aloha spirit. Today you wonder, what is that? Because people today are more interested in money. Bring more tourists. They don't care if they tear the place up. Bring more tourists. They got a lot of money. Leave your clothes at home. Bring your money. The word aloha is a broad word. And I think it's broad enough to fit the problem we have if we're trying to know what God is like. I'm going to use three books to kind of make the point. First is the Bible. The second is nature or creation. And the third is the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Okay? So three books. Now, the Bible first. It said God is light. You understand about light? Life is it is self-explanation. It is self-revealing. It's not that simple. But light is, you turn on the light, you see, right? Now, God is light. And so He reveals about Himself. Now, when I was in studying, you know, last year and so forth, they told us there's over 70 names in the Bible for God. 70 names. I never looked them up. I said, oh, wow, yeah, right. I realize it because it's all the way around. You read in there. Now, Brother Abbott gave us in notes a list, and I counted them. There were 20 names, and he was just beginning, man. He got about one-third maybe. But listen, this is how they go. First of all, Elohim, strong. Then I won't read every word because you'll fall asleep. He's a strong one. He's the Most High. He's the one who sees. He's almighty. He's everlasting. He's eternal. He's immutable, unchanging, incomparable, unequaled. He is just, no respecter of persons. Omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He is alone. He is one. He is righteous. He is sovereign. He is a spirit. He is three in one. That always blows everybody away. They always talk about Trinity. What do you mean? God is the Father. God is the Son. God is the Holy Spirit. You know what I tell them? I'm a son of my mama. I'm a husband to my wife. I'm a father for my daughter. But I'm still only me. You got it? Three names. Son, father, aloha, lover. Okay, you got it. See, God is intimate, infinite. No human can explain God and try to tell you what God is like. But we can understand so much, we can understand what he is and what he is like. Now, you can't understand everything, but it's enough. That's why aloha ke akua is enough. God is love. Now, from the Bible, there's a good story I like. And the reason I picked it is because with me today, I have Greg and his son, Greg Kono and his son, and Grant, and Grant's sister, Chloe, going to help me. See, he was my problem. You see, today, well, I have a coat, I have a tie, there's no screen, I don't have PowerPoint, I'm old. You got it? So I said, wait, I understood when you study communication, you preaching, you have to get participation on the part of the audience. Not here, Bal. They don't even smile, don't laugh, they don't clap, they don't say amen, don't say hallelujah. So you're just talking to the wall. I say, you gotta have communication, at least with the screen. Oh, they look at the screen, it's in color and all of the pictures behind there, and you figure you're communicating. So I knew that. And I said, I gotta have something. So I had. I bring Grant and the Kono family guys, they're gonna play music, sing Hawaiian words. That's good. Now, if they're going to sing, I got to kind of, you know, weave the thing together. Now, I'll tell you, over my lifetime, one Hawaiian song really made it. And it was based on this text, and this is what they're going to play, and so forth. I'm going to read a text about it. I'm going to tell you the story about it. It's a rich young ruler came up to Jesus, and he said, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? Only God is good." Please catch that. Please catch that. Because a lot of us guys think, we got to be good. We eat, we drink, we wear certain clothes, don't wear certain clothes, don't eat this, don't eat that. Just trying like everything. Only God is good. You got it? Okay. If you don't want to have eternal life, or if you do want to have eternal life, Jesus says, you must obey the commandments. I wish Jesus would have said, you will obey the commandments. I like that word better than must. I think Jesus said will, but the translators, they all like say must. Which ones, the man asked. Jesus answered, well, do not murder, be faithful in marriage, do not steal, do not tell lies about others, respect your father and mother, and love others as much as you love yourself. The young man said, I've obeyed all of these. What else must I do? Now Jesus replied, if you want to be perfect, catch that word, go sell everything you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come and be my follower. When the young man heard this, he was sad, because he was very rich. He ought to talk to the guy from eBay, right? I mean, the founder of eBay just recently gave $50 million to a local community association on this island just the last 3-4 days. $50 million cash. Now, why did he do that? And we'll read it right here. Not about him, but I'm going to read the reason. Okay. So, Jesus said, the man says, what else must I do? Sell everything. So he's sad. Now, the story ends there with him. Jesus now turns to the disciples and he says, it's terribly hard for rich people to get into the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's all from Matthew 19:16-23. You can make all kinds of sermons out of that. I'm only going to make one main point. We all want to be rich today. Oh, wow, that's all everybody's thinking about. The economy is crunching. People are getting rich, getting big bonuses. That's not it. That's not it. Did this guy not know God? He was rich. He had enough holy boldness to come right up to Jesus Christ himself and ask the question, but he was kind of stupid. Jesus gave him the last six commandments of the Ten Commandments, right? He says, do this. And he should have said, wow, I got it, and leave. No. He keeps insisting. So Jesus said, you want to be perfect? How is he going to be perfect? Only one way. There's only one way you're going to be perfect. You can give that $50 million you got, you know, still come out perfect, bro. You almost, I mean, $50 million, I think, you'll be close. Because we get it as a gift from God, don't we? Yeah, I'll get that a little later on. Here's an illustration. A doctor is finished talking to his patient in the examination room, and he's going to leave, grabs the handle of the door, and the patient says, doctor, I don't want to die. I'm afraid to die. Tell me what lies on the other side of death. Very quietly, the doctor said, I don't know. The guy says, what? You don't know? You're a Christian and you're a doctor and you don't know what's on the other side? The doctor, who had his hand on the doorknob, could hear some scratching and some whining on the other side of the door. So he opened the door. And in jumped his pet dog, right up on him, jumping on him. You know how that is. And the doctor says to the patient, did you see my dog and what he did? He knew nothing about this office. He's never been in here before. The only thing he knew was that on the other side of that door was his master. And when I opened the door, he came in with no fear, jumped up and received the love back and forth. Now I can tell you I don't know anything about what happens after death, said the doctor, but I know that my master is there, and that's enough. Amen, man, that's it. Yeah, that's the point, see? No fear if we know the master. Aloha, Keakua. Now, to make this story really fit and go with the text I read, I want us to sit back and listen, and I'll call you in a minute, Greg, to hear the words conducted and sung on this song, Me Ke Kanaka Vai Vai. Now, this song was written by a Hawaiian John C. Almeida. He was a musician because at 3 to 4 years old already, he was learning to play ukulele. But something else was happening. He was beginning to go blind. By the time he was 10 years old, he was completely blind. By the time he was 18, he wrote this song, Me Ke Kanaka Vai Vai. Now, this song, Brother Alameda said, no, that rich young ruler cannot be that stupid. You know, step up to God and ask him this question and all of that if you low. No, he knew that once that guy gets acquainted with Jesus, his heart's going to melt. And he's going to change his tune and his idea and his conviction about Jesus. And that needs to be sung to my Hawaiian brothers and sisters and the people of the world. And so he composed this song at 18. And he first tried to give it to a church. The church rejected it, said, no, that sounds too much like a hula song. But then he kept playing it, he kept singing it. And, I they sing it in place where guys hang out and sip a little. I'm not going to say it. You have to figure that out. And he sang those songs. It touched the hearts of a lot of the guys sitting there. They would go home and love their wife and kids. And they would change their tune. And pretty soon that song was an evangelistic success. You understand? And when Queen Liliuokalani died, that was the featured song sung by Johnny Almeida. And it's now played in churches everywhere. And so today I'd like you to understand why. Hear the English of the words for that song. Just one verse anyway. Let me walk through paradise with you, Lord. Take my hand and lead me there. All my earthly treasures I will gladly give. Teach me how to love and to share. Greed and lust and vanity were mine, Lord. Then I found your love divine. Now on my knees I pray that I can find the way. Let me walk through paradise with you, Yahweh. This is Aloha Keakua, God is Love, by Johnny Almeida, and sung to us today by Grant and Greg Kono. While they're coming up, you all know who Greg Kono's daddy was? He's my son-in-law's brother. No, that's not it. Yeah, but that's true. But also, the pastor who was here when this church was first built, Greg was a little boy at that time. In fact, if you go into some of these walls around here, you can find some of the toys that he let in. You know, the carpenter's hammer, the carpenter's screwdriver. Greggy boy threw him in there. Did you know that about your house? Yeah, oh, okay. Kanaka vai vai.
Make ala hele o Yesu, ihala vai akuai. Meke kanaka o pio hano hano, kaulana I kawai vai. Pane mahi e kao. And how to share. Greed and lust and vanity were mine, Lord, till I found your love divine. Now on my knees I pray that I will find a way. Let me walk through paradise with you.
Okay, book one, close. Go to book two. Creation and nature. God is not someone to be afraid of, but someone to be a friend with. Now, one of the best ways to get friendly with anybody or anything is to mix, play, talk story, laugh, get together with them. Nature is a book of God, and we can say a lot of things about it, but you know, you have to go out in nature to understand it. Now, we are very lucky to live in a place like Hawaii, because you have almost all year you can do it. Now, I've been some places in the mainland, friend, you didn't want to even leave home. You know what I mean? It's too cold outside. But making some points about nature here. Number one, from the Bible, I got 3 points. Do you not know, the Bible asks, Have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. He counts the number of the stars and calls them all by name. Now, to be able to do that, I want to paint a picture that'll puzzle your brain and say, no, that's all those moderns like scientists, you know, they study the stars and they come up with these millions and billions of years and so forth. That's not the point, okay? I understand the war between creation and evolution. And the evolution guys, give them a chance, they'll catch up. They'll finally wake up. But as an illustration, our planet, Earth, is on the outer edge of our galaxy, the Milky Way. And light from the stars on the other side of the galaxy are said to be 100 years it takes the light from those stars to reach us from the outer edge of our own galaxy. 100,000 years. And light is traveling at 186,000 miles per second. Our sun is only one among 200 billion stars in our galaxy. One sun. Okay. Yet, our galaxy is easily one of more than 100 billion Milky Ways. We can't even fathom that, right? Think about it. In the observable universe, this is the kind of distance they're talking about. Now, this is what a writer of the Psalms that talk about stars and all this stuff, they say, Selah. When they get through describing it, they say, Selah. And I thought, okay, you know, I wrote it down. I said, Selah. What does it mean? So I get my wife, computer, you know, look in the books. Here's what Selah means. Okay, it means think about it, stop, contemplate for a minute, question it, and you might understand a little bit of what they're trying to get across about the power of the Creator God that creates all this stuff. Now, I can talk about another constellation, but it's more millions and millions and billions of years and all this stuff. It doesn't matter. Just your mind. If your mind isn't boggled yet, then I'd ask you to do this. Drive out to the end of the island, way out North Shore someplace, or go to the big island to Kau, or come back down with us to Palm Springs, where we have some friends from Palm Springs with my wife today. In the desert, on a night when the moon is low, and look out at the stars. I did this one time with an academy kids when I used to be there. We went to Haleakala. Gonna go out there. So we go hiking. And man, it was so dark and so pathetic. But when the nighttime came, there were millions of stars. I couldn't see them in Honolulu because too much light, you know, from the city. But out there, I said, where are all these stars at when I'm in Honolulu? And then the guy was a teacher at the academy, and I was supposed to be the principal, you know what I mean? And they started telling me about it. I could not believe it. You just look at it. And it's all of this to try to get us to understand who the God of nature is. I mean, think of the brilliance because of that. Examine a drop of water with a microscope. It'll drive you nuts. You won't even want to drink it anymore. And it's wiggling and all of that. What? And they talk about H1N1. Man, that's nothing. Okay. Every living creature. But, you know, we've got to make it simple, okay? Those of us who live here and come to Manoa, we got it made. And here's the reason why. Jesus said, I promise every living creature that the earth, upon the earth, and those living on it will never again be destroyed by a flood, like Noah's flood and all. Never again. The rainbow that I have put in the sky will be my sign to you. It will remind you that I will keep this promise forever. The rainbow will be the sign of that solemn promise. Now, all I'm asking you to do, every time you see a rainbow, think, hey, wait, what is that about? Don't tell me about the light filtering through the thing. God's promise, that's the rainbow. Whenever you see the rainbow, that's the second book speaking to you, Aloha Keakua. That's his sign. Now, I've asked Chloe Kono, sister, daughter, and a good hula dancer, to come up here and dance for us a song that reveals the rainbow. Okay, Chloe?
Before we start, let me explain the song. Since I'm not too good at talking and playing at the same time.
Doesn't work too well.
So this song is called Nani Manoa, and the meaning is the beauty of Manoa. And we're fortunate to worship in a place that is so beautiful. And every Sabbath when I drive up, I take time to look at the mountains, the greenery, the flowers, the plants, and I take nothing for granted. So let me just quickly go through each verse so you have an idea of what we're singing about and Chloe's performing for you with the hula. The first verse talks about the beauty of Manoa, and it tells how this valley is adorned in rain. Ka'ua, hua is the rain. And more specifically, the rain in Manoa is known to the Hawaiians as the Tuahine rain. And Tuahine is translated to like the daughter of the Aina, our daughter of the land. And so when the rain falls on Manoa Valley, it refreshes and revives the valley. The second verse talks about the majesty of the mountains you see back here, referred to as Aka'aka, and also some of the glittering waters that run through Manoa, and that's referred to as Waiakeakua, or translated into the water of the gods. So we have the Tuahine rain, the mountains, and the waters. And then the third verse talks about, as Pastor Hmong said, the rainbow, or Ke Anuenue, the rainbows that we see in the valley, and how God has placed the lovely adornment of the rainbows for us to enjoy, but also to remind us of his promise. And the last verse, of course, ties the song together. So this song we'll do is Nani Manoa.
Oh, Nani Kela Kela.
O Kapi O.
O Kapi O Anamai. O Ke Anue Nue. Kahiko Nani no Ia Kaui.
Save your clapping. I'm going to give you a chance to clap, but you're going to take my punchline out. I don't want to mention it now. Okay, book two closed. Nature. Now book three. Jesus Christ. Aloha ke akua. Now, you know, you can say a lot about Jesus, and I could have, but I say you got to watch out because all this section means a longer time. But anyway, I just want to say enough about Jesus. See, one of the problems we have with God is that it's difficult to understand him, okay? And yet it's not, you know? We make it difficult. Now, there's a story that was told there, by Jesus, about this guy owned an orchard or something, and he need hire laborers, right? So he goes into the town early in the morning, and he hires some laborers, bring them back. So much an hour. And he goes back to town a couple hours later. There's still guys there that are not working. You want to work? Yeah, okay, come out to the farm, pay ya. Gonna go to work. At noon, he goes in, lunchtime, goes to the town, you know. Hey, more guys, no job. Come to my farm. You work, you get paid. He does that all the way up to about 5 o'clock. The pauhana, or quitting time, is 6. So at 6 o'clock, he tells his Luna, the head man that's working under him, he says, when you pay the boys who came last first. What about the pay? Same pay. Everybody gets same pay. So he starts paying them, right? The guys that came 5 o'clock, they got their $10 a day. The guys that came 3 o'clock, they got $10 a day. The guys that came at noon, $10 a day. The poor guy that came at 8 o'clock, he said, hey, bro, what about me? I've been out there in the sun, sweating all day. Here's your 10 bucks. And they were a little angry. Now, Jesus asked this question. Why should you be jealous if your boss wants to be generous? Good question, isn't it? If he hired you for 10 bucks a day, he gonna give you the 10 bucks, fair and square. It's not about fairness. It's about the boss. Aloha ke akua. I mean, why did he hire him to start with? The Bible makes it clear. He went to town and these guys are hanging around with no job. I mean, there's plenty of guys in Honolulu doing that right now. And if somebody was to hire them and pay them full pay for a half a day, would you squawk, especially if it was you? Why must you be jealous? Because your boss wants to be generous. Not jealous, generous. So that's Jesus speaking. It's kind of like this. There's a little boy, his name was Blaine Morris, 2 years old. Now, his family lived just a little bit down the street from the church they went to. And every time they'd go out, they had to pass the church. And the little boy would recognize this. And when he came up by the church, he would say, more God, more God, more God. Because he liked to go to church. You know, he wanted more God. You know, today that's what we need to be screaming out loud. More God. Not more money, more jobs, more economy, more technology, more God. But you got to be 2 years old to get it. You understand it? You think too much, you get too complicated, you know. Jesus, the third part of our story here today, he wants us to love him. He's done everything. During the meetings we had one evening right down here, our pastor was talking. He was talking about this. He had told us about the second death. He had told us what Jesus had done. Even if there's only one person would accept Jesus, he'd die on the cross. This is God, man. That's what he was, God, man. Fully God, fully human. The humanity had to die to pay the price of sin. We are told he didn't know that when he died, as taking upon him the sins of the world, whether he'd ever wake up again or not. He's a goner. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's gone. And Pastor Abbott, presenting this thing on that same screen right there, he got it. He felt it. And he said, hallelujah, amen. What did the church do? We said, yeah, hallelujah, amen. He said it again, hallelujah, amen. And we all said, hallelujah, amen. Guy, that chicken skin was running. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. You see, God wants all of us to understand who he is. Now, let me tell you this story. I'm going to close here soon. There's a book, a marvelous book, they said, written by a guy named John Grogan. And it is called Marley and Me. Now, they since have made a movie about Marley and Me. Now, this is about John Grogan. It's a true story. He and his wife and his family came to love a very complicated dog. Misbehaved constantly. Headaches, laughs, and happiness and love between the family and the dog, Marley. Now, according to Grogan, well, they decided to make a movie. Now, you don't blame him, right? Based on this book, he decided to take home one of the puppies that they were using to play Marley in the movie. The dog's name was Woodson. Not long after they brought the dog home, they noticed that something was terribly wrong. He walked like he had rheumatoid arthritis. So they took Woodson to a vet. The dog was diagnosed as having a rare birth defect that causes severe malformation of the hips of the dog, and he would never be normal. So Grogan went to the, you know, guys making the movie and said, you know, this is the thing about the dog. The breeders came. They told the breeders about it because he wanted them to know about how to properly take care of the puppy. And they weren't interested. They said, oh, you need another one? We take that on back. Give you one more. That's not the point. You got it? So John looked to his wife and they smiled and they had already agreed. That'll never happen, pal. Woodson has found a home. Woodson is coming back home to our house. The Grogans had already accepted a dog that was severely mischievous. Now they take one severely disabled back to their house to keep it. May that story remind you, and you may probably go see the movie. They claim it's a good one. I haven't seen it. The love that Jesus Christ wants to have for us. Now, we don't always behave correctly. We're mischievous too, you know what I mean? And we are exasperatingly imperfect. But he wants us in his family. You got it? Aloha ke akua. Now, I'm going to ask one question. Where is God today? Where is God today? And I do that to make people say, they're supposed to say, right here, God is in you, Jesus Christ. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know how easy God has made it for us to get acquainted with him, to follow him, to listen to him, to obey him, to have the power and the strength to obey his commandments? Right here, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So don't cry baby about how hard it is. It's not hard to understand it. If dogs can understand what love is, great. Hey, come on. So where is God today? He's in you, the hope of glory. More than that, where is Jesus Christ today? He's in heaven. He's the priest of the temple up there, in the sanctuary in heaven. What's he doing? Well, the Bible said, he's the judge, and that the hour has come for him to start judging. And that already happened years ago, according to prophecy, if he interpreted right. The hour of his judgment has come. What we are kind of feeling now in a church is that they're getting down to the last. They started with the first dead guy. That would have been Adam's son, wouldn't it? We think. Anyway, man, and coming on up, all the way up through all the people who ever lived, millions of them, billions, and get everybody's case decided. And finally, the angels are going to come up and give a report to God and say, all right, we got it. It is finished. It is done. And Jesus is going to announce that and leave from the sanctuary in heaven to come here. Now, the only problem is we can kind of know when it gets close. I say Jesus coming soon, real soon, very soon. You know why I say that? I'm 76 years old, pal. When I die, that's how soon it's going to be for me. Hey, that's right. If you get run over by a car today, your time is over. You can only qualify while you're living and breathing, living and breathing. After that, it's over. They asked the doctor, what happens after you die? I'd have told him, well, you sleep a long time or a short time, depending when you die. I don't want to even die. No, I'd rather not die. How about you? Well, if you got to die, you got to die. How many of you love God enough that you hope and pray that when God comes, he'll love you like that dog was licking the doctor on the face? How many of you? Hold up your hand. How many of you love God? Come on. Raise your hand. That's good. That's good. I raised my hand. I had another question in there I wanted to ask. Let me see what it is. Okay, you love God. How many of you want to go to heaven? Good. I'd like to go to heaven too. How many of you, if God came right now, you go to heaven? Man, everybody's hand ought to go up. They all know about love right now. Aloha ke akua. It's a free gift God going to give you. You got sense enough to take it? Yeah, you can take it. Now, the Bible says one other thing. The Bible says this in Psalm 47. This is a good one. And this is a good one for our church here. Psalm 47. All of you, clap your hands and shout joyful praises to God. I told Brother Abbott that when he hollered that hallelujah. I said, why don't you do that every week? You know, so that we can all say, hey, hallelujah, let's get into it. So I'm going to help us to fulfill that text. It's done like this. It says, give God a hand. What do you give God a hand for? Not the minister who's got some notes he's reading. You give God a hand for blessing you. And yet, now, get this. This whole thing we're talking about is not about you and me. It's about God. It's about God. God is the one that had the headache that caused this whole problem. Satan accused God of being wrong, being a liar, being this, being that. And God had to solve the problem to vindicate his own name. Not save our skin. Could have made us all robots and would have been easy. But he wanted love. Love requires choice. You got to choose to love somebody. Let's choose to love God because he chose to love us first. And that, you can give God a hand. Can you give God a hand? Hallelujah! Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good. That's good. I don't see that clapping for somebody who danced the hula, clap for somebody who sang a song, or don't clap for somebody who entertained you for a few minutes. No. This is giving God a hand, and we have done that. Closing song. Greg and his son. After that, I'll have the benediction. Thank you very much.
We chose a song about love. this song was actually written by the Reverend Dennis Kamakahi, and even though it's not speaking of his love for God or God's love for him, it's a song he wrote for his wife. And I think when I researched the song, I wanted to make sure it's appropriate for this setting. But I think a lot of the symbolisms he portrays in the song is very appropriate and very similar to God's love for us. So this song we'll do is called Puahone, or Honey Flower. It has been decided that in this lifetime I give my love to you, and I place you in a verdant and beautiful valley, and compare you to the honey flower lying peacefully in the calm. And I will be your dear friend. Look for me in the midst of the mountains.
No Kanoe kua hivi.
And you are beautiful, my friend, as you stand before me, that I wish to be as an iaie vine from the district called Leilono, to wrap myself around you and protect you always from all unkind things.
I want to thank Pastor Meng for bringing us a timely, inspiring message and relieving our pastor for a little break after his heavy evangelistic series. But I also wanted to underline that next week, Pastor Nishikawa will be preaching his last sermon to a joint service of both divisions. So please be here for his last sermon, followed by the potluck, which is an opportunity for us to farewell Pastor and Mrs.